The year is 2017. SoftBank has just raised the largest tech fund that the world has ever seen. Masayoshi Son, the man who runs it, had recently committed to investing $4 billion in WeWork after a 12-minute office tour with its founder Adam Neumann. And now, Neumann is in Tokyo in a conversation with Son and Chengwei, the CEO of Didi. Didi, the Chinese ride-hailing giant that had just emerged the winner of a long and bloody battle against Uber in China. SoftBank had backed Wei, and Son was quite proud that Didi had won. So after praising Wei to Neumann, he turned to him and offered him the moral of the story. If there was one lesson that Adam Neumann and WeWork had to absorb, it was this one. So Masayoshi Son asked Neumann, in a fight, who wins? Is it the smart guy or is it the crazy guy? Neumann says, the crazy guy. That's right, says Son. Crazy beats smart. Travis Kalanick, the CEO of Uber, was smart, but Wei was crazy, and that is why he won. And then Son looks straight at Neumann and tells him what he wanted to hear. You're not crazy enough. But let me tell you what is crazy. This news from a few days ago. The Competition Commission of India, or the CCI, has cleared Manipal Group chief Ranjan Pai's investment in online pharmacy PharmEasy. Wait, but that's not the crazy part. So far, PharmEasy has raised 3,500 crore rupees through a rights issue. Sorry, that's not the crazy part either. Okay, here is what is crazy. PharmEasy raised this money at a 90% discount to its peak valuation. 90%, from more than $5 billion to $500 million. What happened? Welcome to Daybreak, a business podcast from The Ken. I'm your host, Snigdha Sharma, and I don't chase the news cycle. Instead, thrice a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I will come to you with one business story that is worth understanding and worth your time. Today is Friday, the 29th of March. Let us begin by going over the story of PharmEasy. My colleague Praveen Gopalakrishnan wrote about it in his newsletter, The Nutgraph. You see, PharmEasy got into a straightforward e-commerce business. Sellers on one side, buyers on the online side. The offline side was fragmented and the company tried to consolidate it online. Then, a few years later, PharmEasy figured out that the offline side is fragmented for a reason. Which is, the product is a commodity with thin margins and it is impossible to build a differentiated proposition. Think of groceries or pharmacy medicine. So, PharmEasy tried something ambitious and it sold this story to its investors. The idea was, what if it captured the entire value chain? It could use that advantage to push margins. Now, this is usually the right idea, but pharma is a bit more complicated. So PharmEasy went a little crazy. Just a little. Instead of building all of this out, it went on a shopping spree and started buying out company after company. All in an attempt to complete the jigsaw puzzle it had sold to its investors. It paid a premium for some of these companies. The most notable of them was Thyrocare, a testing diagnostics company. Now, usually companies finance all of this through equity. But PharmEasy chose to fund it using debt at a time when interest rates were near zero. It collateralized this debt with equity in Thyrocare. This was a little unusual, but it wasn't crazy. And PharmEasy was hoping to go for an IPO shortly after that. The plan was to use the proceeds of the IPO to pay off this debt. Soon, recession hit, and PharmEasy needed to take another debt from Goldman Sachs to pay off the previous debt. Except now, interest rates were not zero. And neither PharmEasy nor Thyrocare were generating enough cash flow to pay off the debt. So PharmEasy tried to raise funding, and it did not find any takers. Things got pretty bad, and it looked like PharmEasy was in danger of losing ThyroCare to Goldman Sachs. So some investors stepped in to infuse funds to pay off the debt and get a ton of shares in return, effectively taking control of the company. And that is basically how it all played out. But did you notice something? There are some similarities between PharmEasy and Byju's. Coming up next. There are parallels between PharmEasy and ThyroCare and Byju's and Akash. In both cases, the companies bought a thriving offline business at nearly the same time and it went through hell to pay for it. Byju's, of course, did a complex series of transactions which involved its founder, Byju Ravindran, taking loans to increase his shareholding in the company. PharmEasy's founders played it a bit more safe and, well, here they are. But of course, 4 years ago, it did seem like the smart thing to do. But even then, there were questions. The Ken had written about it in detail. And what we had gathered from the structuring of the deal was this. We were in a funding environment that was capital rich and caution poor. But in 2023, startups were being forced to make difficult decisions, like having to sell their core adjacent businesses to keep their core business alive. And we've already seen this play out with companies like Unacademy and Swiggy. But what happens when the core adjacent business makes more sense than the core business itself? If it has been acquired at a great cost, companies and its investors will go to great lengths to protect it. And if it means icing out the other investors and making the founders into glorified employees, well, then so be it. Now, Manipal's Ranjan Pai has emerged as one of the biggest investors in PharmEasy with an estimated stake of more than 12%. He will be getting 3 seats on the board. But here is the interesting part. There are 2 private equity funds, Temasek and TPG Capital, which control Manipal Health and PharmEasy. Manipal Health is an interesting entity because in many ways, it mirrors the situation that PharmEasy found itself in. About a year ago, Temasek bought over a majority stake from Ranjan Pai. Just like how PharmEasy bought ThyroCare from its promoter, Arogya Swami Velamani. PharmEasy's plan was to create a jigsaw of companies inorganically, including a diagnostics company, and pay a premium for them with the intention of going for an IPO. Clearly, that did not quite work out. But from a corporate structure and incentives point of view, this whole thing is actually quite fascinating. Stay tuned. Praveen believes that any sort of extreme is a good opportunity to see the underlying forces that are at play much, much more plainly. For example, when everyone was getting drunk on dollars in 2020 and 2021, some natural limits about India became quite apparent, like the shallowness of the consumer market or the number of engineers. And now that the tide has turned again in the opposite direction, other things are becoming clearer. Especially the incentives created by venture capital firms for startups and their consequences. Because you see, in good times, everyone writes long Twitter threads and shows up on podcasts claiming to be founder friendly. But now we're seeing that VCs extract value from startups, leaving practically nothing for anyone else. And the incentives don't match up anymore, not even for founders. But the PharmEasy story tells us something that is really important, and it is this. If you're an ambitious startup relying on venture funding in India, there are 2 ways to stay alive. You can either be boring or you can be crazy. Being dull is also an advantage under certain conditions. Companies like Swiggy, Paytm, Flipkart, PhonePay, RazorPay, and Meesho are boring. Simple business models, straightforward corporate structures, clear market leadership. Most of them are not profitable, but that is fine. Boring companies need to continue to remain boring, and over time, they will get to the other side. And if that is not your thing, there is another way. swing the opposite direction and become completely crazy. And I don't mean a little quirky. No, I mean go completely nuts and do the things that'll end up as a B-school case study. For example, Ola practically built a more valuable company on the fly with a hugely different shareholding structure. And Oyo pulled off a magic trick of the ages. And all of them are doing all right for now. Unfortunately, FarmEasy fell through the middle. There is an uncanny valley between being extremely ordinary and being completely crazy. And that is the gap that did them in. Maybe if FarmEasy's founders had pledged their shares and taken steep loans to acquire more shares or simply replaced their VP product with a strip of paracetamol, they would probably be doing fine today. If you want to succeed in India, especially in this environment, when venture capitalists aren't your friends, you either need to be dull or you need to be audacious. There are no half measures. Daybreak is produced from the newsroom of The Ken, India's first subscriber-focused business news platform. What you're listening to is just a small sample of our subscriber-only offerings. A full subscription unlocks daily long-form feature stories, newsletters, subscriber-only apps, and podcast extras. Head to theken.com and click on the red subscribe button on the top of the website. I am Snigdha Sharma, your host, and today's episode was edited by my colleague Rajiv Sien.